I want you to begin to read with me in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22 this very familiar story of Peter walking on the water. Let's stand together as I begin to read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now I want you to notice in verse 22 that the disciples, including Simon Peter, were exactly where they were supposed to be. God told them to get into the ship and go to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. By the way, you call a prayer meeting and you don't always expect a crowd. Okay? You look at Jesus when he prayed. Now, he had sent his disciples away, but in other places where Jesus prayed and asked them to pray with him, they slept while he prayed. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There are going to be times in our life when we're exactly where God told us to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing, and find ourselves in the midst of a storm. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, what wonderful words to hear when you find yourself in the midst of a storm, thinking you're about to sink. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now notice, Peter wasn't really sure. And he said, if it be thou. And I've said again, and you need to remember this, that God is not looking for people with perfect faith. He is looking for people who will use what faith they have. And God will bless them. And Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now you ought to underline that. We really malign Peter here and say, bless his heart, he got out there and started to sink. But the Bible says he walked on the water. And he's walked a lot further on the water than I've walked. And I suppose that he's walked further than you've walked. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. We'll leave off reading there, and I want you to notice that statement where Peter said, If it be thou, Lord, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come on, come. God's always looking for someone that'll use what faith they have. You'd be surprised what you could do for God if you just trust Him. Doesn't have to be perfect faith. God rebuked him and said, O thou little faith, when he began to sink, but he walked on the water. The Bible said so. Now, as he is walking, he began to look at the waves in the storm and began to sink. And what I want to preach to you tonight is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The old devil's trying to distract us from the one who is to be preeminent in our life. He's trying to get us to look to the problems instead of the problem solver. And I want to challenge you, in this world we're living today, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you're going through problems with sickness, Brother Dockery, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. When we're going through financial problems, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. When we hear the news and it's talking about Iran with atomic weapons and the terrorists attacking and people killing our military in recruiting places right here in America. When Osama bin Laden is threatening, our president's bankrupting our nation, instead of getting caught up in all of the peripheral things, keep your eyes on Jesus. He alone is our hope. So I want to talk to you about that for a little while tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing. I want to challenge our people to keep you in the forefront of their mind and their heart and their sight, to make you preeminent in their life, in their prayer time, in their thought pattern. Help us not to be distracted by all the storms that are raging around us, but help us, Lord Jesus, to purposely keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. For we thank you that you're there, ready to help us, ready to guide us, ready to save us from our problems, if we'll just remember you're always near. Now, Father, we ask your blessings and help on the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice in verse number 30, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he looked around, got his eyes off Jesus, and he saw the waves. He was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord. It's sure good to know that Jesus is near when we find ourselves in the midst of trouble. Now let me remind you again, don't be hard on Peter. He used more faith than you've used. He walked on the water. He got out of the boat. Most Baptists are content with boat life. They're content just to ride it out in the boat instead of trust Jesus. But he got his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves in the storm. Now we've read this wonderful story of Peter walking on the water. He has walked farther on the water than any other person I've ever met or you've ever met except Jesus Christ. In this story, it's a true story. Peter, looking to Jesus walking on the water, simply asked, if you bid me come, I'll walk to you on the water. Don't you make a bold request to Jesus and say, if you'll ask me, I'll preach the gospel, or if you'll do this, I'll teach that Sunday school. Jesus say, come on. Come on. He's looking for people that'll use their faith and just obey him. Jesus never discourages a person from a closer walk with Jesus Christ. He never does. Jesus never says no to a sincere walk and act of faith. Now you'll notice that in our story, Jesus said, come. And Peter climbed out of that boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Rule number one, when you're walking by faith, always keep your eyes on Jesus and not the circumstances surrounding you. Peter's mistake was not trying to walk on the water. He had a word from God that says, come on, Peter. And he walked on the water. His problem was he got his eyes off Jesus. The consequences are always the same when we take our eyes off Jesus. We'll begin to look at the terrible things that are going on around us, and we'll begin to sink, just like Peter did. Again, don't be down on Peter. He was where God told him to be. He was doing exactly what God told him to do. Come on. And he began to sink. And may I say to you, when you begin to sink in the will of God, it may be that you have gotten your eyes off Jesus. We're human beings. We're affected by this little storm and that little storm and that bad news and this bad news. We begin to worry instead of trust. We began to take things in our own hands instead of obeying the Lord, and we'll look at the terrible things that are going on around us, and we too will begin to sink. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He's given us our race. And then he said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The only time Peter ever did walk on the water was the time he had his eyes on Jesus. And if you're going to do things for God, you've got to keep him preeminent in your life. You've got to keep him in the forefront of your sight and vision. Many today are trying to run their race or live their Christian life without keeping their eyes on Jesus Christ. They're looking at this guy or this preacher or that Christian instead of looking to Jesus. By the way, he's our pattern. He's our example. People will disappoint you, but Jesus never will. People have frailties just like you. And if you get your eyes on somebody else and they falter and fail, you'll get discouraged or angry and make excuses that why you should quit. But Jesus will never disappoint you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now for our message tonight, I want you to consider with me just two thoughts. First of all, why we should keep our eyes on Jesus. And secondly, what happens if we get our eyes off Jesus. First off, why we should look unto Jesus and keep our eyes on Him. First of all, because He is our salvation. Salvation is not just a doctrine, it's a person. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't get saved by believing a plan. You get saved by trusting a person. Jesus Christ. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He is our salvation. Keep your eyes on the one that saved you, the one that died for you, the one that suffered and bled that we might have eternal life. Keep your eyes on Jesus because He is our Savior, our salvation. Secondly, we're to keep our eyes on Him because He's our example. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." God's will is that we be becoming more and more like Jesus day by day of our Christian life. The best way to do that is keep your eyes on Him. How's He going to act? What's He going to do? How would He respond to this situation? You say, "I don't know." He tells us in the Word of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is our example. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." He is our example. By the way, how much like Him are you tonight? Hey, have you ever been accused of being like Jesus? That'd be a great compliment, wouldn't it? Now, there's some people when they say, "You know, you remind me of so-and-so," I'm either embarrassed or appalled. I sure would like for someone to accuse me of being like Jesus. How much are you like Jesus? He's our example. He's the one that we're to pattern our life after. It's the predestined will of God that we be conformed to His image. Now, people quote that verse and they put a period where there's no period in the Bible. It says, "For whom He didn't foreknow, them He also did predestinate." And they put a period there, but God didn't. God said, "Whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." It means that God's predetermined plan is that all of His children favor Him, look like Him, act like Him, make decisions like Him. You say, "But I'm not God." No, you're not, but God lives in you. And God will help you and guide you if you'll learn to trust Him. If you'll walk with Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's our example. Then may I say, thirdly, keep our eyes on Jesus because He'll guide us. Well, I don't know what to do. Look to Jesus. He'll guide us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started us out in His will, and He's the one that'll keep us until we're brought home to be with Him and presented perfect before God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's our guide. What do I do? Where do I go? I've got a very unusual answer to that. Be close enough to ask Him. Lord, what would You have me to do? Don't you believe He answers prayer? Don't you believe that He still speaks to hearts of His children through His Holy Spirit? How long has it been since you've heard that still small voice of God? Well, it's been so long in some lives that you wouldn't recognize Him if He spoke. Is God's voice recognizable to you? God's children ought not have a problem recognizing Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. The great problem among Christians and churches today is we're following everybody else's example and advice except Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, the foundation of the church. Everything is fitly framed in Him and by Him and for Him. If the church is going to work right and be pleasing to Him and have His blessings, don't you think we ought to keep Him as preeminent in our life and preeminent in our church? He is our example. He is our pattern. He is our guide. And then may I say to you, again, it's a novel thing, but you ever think about talking to Him? He intercedes for us. Why? Paul said in Romans that there are times we're not going to know how to pray or what to pray for. But in that time, He prays for us. The Holy Spirit of God prays for us. He intercedes in our behalf. You know, Jesus is in His priestly office at this time. His prophetic office was when He walked on this earth. His priestly office is now where He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's our great high priest. And there's not one Christian in here has to come to the preacher and ask preacher to do the praying for you. You have as much power with God as the preacher does. You're a child of God. That's one of the privileges of being a child of God. One of the great doctrinal truths and one of the distinctives of the Baptist faith is that we are priests, believers, and we have the privilege to come boldly to the presence of God. We have a high priest. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this passage of Scripture. Let's begin to read in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We ought not waver in what we believe. We ought not let the storms tempt us and cause us to get our eyes off Him. We ought to be steadfast and faithful, knowing that Jesus is our great high priest. For we have an high priest which cannot be touched. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, many people get mixed up on that because they don't put the two knots in there. You want to get it in good old plain English terms? Take the two knots out. For we have an high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is not some stone. He is not some person without feelings that's never touched by our heartaches or burdens. God is touched. He has suffered in all points as we are suffered. We will not go through a thing that He's not experienced. So He said, because we have that kind of a high priest, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. He'll intercede for us. You say, I don't know how to pray. Go to Him! Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you don't know how to pray, ask your high priest to intercede for you. You can do that. He knows what His will for your life is. He knows what you need and what I need. And you listen to me, there's going to be times when you're not going to feel like praying. I'll tell you, the 2 weeks right after my knee surgery, I hurt so bad, I didn't want to read my Bible, I didn't want to pray, I didn't want to think about a sermon. But I thank God that I had a great high priest that knew exactly what I was going through, and He was interceding for me. Bible says so. Now you're going to go through tough times. You're going to have heartaches and difficulties and problems. You say, I don't know how to pray about this. Well, you've got a great high priest that knows. Go to Him. Ask Him to intercede for you. Then may I say to you that we ought to keep our eyes on Jesus because He's the source of all blessings. You don't think it's you alone that's provided for you and your family. You don't think it's your talent and personality and education that's making it possible for you to have the job and earn the income. The Bible lets us know that every blessing comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. We need to be mindful. He's the source of all blessings. Remember back over in Genesis chapter 49 when Jacob was blessing his sons. He came down to Joseph. And Jacob pronounced his blessings on his sons. And he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Chapter 49 verse 22. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. He's fruitful, he's bearing fruit, fruit's hanging over the wall, people can come by and are blessed because of God's blessings in his life. Look at Joseph, how many people were blessed because of Joseph. Potiphar, the jailer, all Egypt, his own family. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Look on down in verse 25. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, and blessings of the breast and the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors. Talking about God, more than anything his father had done or people had done for him, God had blessed him. And until we learn that truth, my dear friends, we're going to miss the great treats and joys of life, being able to say God did that. God provided that. Now we need His blessings in our relationship with each other. You know, when man has more fights, more disagreements than agreements. Boy, this old depravity in the flesh finds it easy to disagree with another person. But God makes it possible for us to have a relationship with each other. We need His blessings in our daily pursuit of providing for our family. Whether it be our daily walk or our career, God forbid that we think that we're the ones bringing home the paycheck. It's all about us. We better learn to bless His name because He is the Father of blessings. We need His blessings in our marriage. Got to keep our eyes. You say, how do we build a good home, a good marriage? Keep your eyes on Jesus. See, we are inherently selfish. And the first principle in marriage is preferring your partner before yourself. We need His blessings as we try to raise our family. If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on Dr. Spock or Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Phil, instead of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus when you're raising your family. We need His blessings for our spiritual growth. You're not going to read carnal, worldly books and grow spiritually. If you're going to grow spiritually, go to His Word. The Bible ought to be the priority book of our life. And then we ought to choose books that help us to grow. And be careful what you choose and who you read after, because they become a part of your life. I know people that have gotten out of the way of God and doubt God because they've been reading the wrong kind of book. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, He reminds us that this life is not all. Jesus is coming soon. Keeping your eyes on Jesus reminds us that we're to keep the main things in our life. Isn't it easy to get secondary things into the place of priority things in our life? You know, I think that probably there's more failures among Christians, not because of terrible, ugly, willful sin. They just get the priorities wrong. And they major on things that are not all that important instead of keeping the main things the main things. Keep your eyes on Jesus so you can keep the main things the main things. Keep your eyes on Jesus because He reminds us of our purpose for this life. Occupy till I come. That word occupy means keep doing God's business till Jesus comes again. There's no quitting place until we're caught up to be with Him. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus because it makes it possible for us to live the best life here and enjoy the greatest blessings till He comes again. I'd hate to think this world can give me what God cannot give me. If I want the best life, then it's in the will of God. And if I'm going to live in the will of God, then I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus. You say, but preacher, I know people that kept their eyes on Jesus and got their head cut off. Yeah, they went to be with Jesus. Now, I'm not looking for that shortcut to glory. But I do want to keep my eyes on Jesus. And it may come to place in our Christian life, in our lifetime, that Bible-believing Baptist will have to pay a price to keep their eyes on Jesus. I'm talking about more of a price than the criticisms of the liberals and the people in the left. We may have to shed our blood again. We may have to be put in prison again. I'm not looking forward to that. But let me tell you, Jesus is more precious and He is more precious, or ought to be more precious, than the fear of going through any of that. Dear God, in the past, there's been daddies and mamas and children that said, before I turn away from Jesus, I'd rather die. And they did. Why, our Christianity is so weak today that if we have a standard of dress or conduct, people quit the church. What are they going to do? What are they going to do when the terrorists come? What are they going to do when the communists come? What are they going to do when they bring you before a court and say, if you don't recant your faith in Jesus and your belief in the Bible, you're going to prison or have your head cut off? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me finish. What happens to an individual when we get our eyes off of Jesus? Well, look at Simon Peter. He began to sink. How's your life doing? You having a sinking spell? You find yourself with the water about up to here? You're just trying to stay above the waves? He began to sink. And we will too when we get our eyes off Jesus. Though Peter was where Christ wanted him to be, and though Peter was doing what Christ beckoned him to do, Peter was not out of the will of God, or out of the place of God for his life. He just got his eyes off Jesus for a short period of time and he began to sink. And so will you and so will I. When we take our eyes off Jesus as Peter did, we'll begin to major on the boisterous waves and the storm instead of the omnipotent Master who said, come. When Jesus got in the ship, the storm ceased. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we fall in love with the world and forsake the will of God and His work, like Demas. Oh, my soul, over these 23 years here at Trinity, a legal yellow pad wouldn't hold the names of people that started out and got their eyes off Jesus and ended up in the world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, it keeps the love burning in your heart. When you get your eyes off Jesus and start seeing what the world offers and the devil offers, before you know, you'll be loving the world instead of Jesus. And by the way, there's no record of Demas ever coming back. He died loving this evil world as far as we know. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we go back on our promises and commitments, like Ananias and Sapphira. They made a promise to give a certain amount to God. And they went back on the promise. Read it in Acts chapter 5. They died. God killed them. They got their eyes off of Him and broke the commitment, the vow they had made to God. God takes those things seriously. We ought to also. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we'll face disaster in just a short time in our marriage, our family relationships. I'm amazed at families that can't get along. Husbands and wives that can't get along. Christians in the church that can't get along. I promise you they both don't have their eyes on Jesus. At least one of them is looking off to the world. Isn't it amazing how our jobs and career goes wrong when we get our eyes off Jesus? Our daily walk is hindered when we get our eyes off Jesus. And I could go on and on, but I want to say that someone listening to my voice right now is facing disaster even now because you've taken your eyes off Jesus. You begin to look at the circumstances around you and you've forgotten that Jesus bid you to come unto Him. Trust Him. I'm talking about saved people. The Lord reached out and saved Peter from the boisterous waves in verse 31. You can read about it. And if we'll keep our eyes on Him and cry out to Him when we find ourselves sinking, He'll save us. Big difference between Peter and Demas is Peter called out to the Lord. Demas never did. Peter called out to the Lord. Sapphira and Ananias never did. They died lying to God and trying to hold out on what they'd promised to give God. And the last thing they did in this life was to lie to God and break their vow to Him. I say to you tonight, keep your eyes on Jesus. We live in perilous times. We live when there's storm winds blowing on every side. And just as that Air France went down in the middle of a storm and 200 and some odd people perished, if you're not careful, you keep your eyes on Jesus or the storm will make you its victim. It'll take you under. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Make Him preeminent in your life. He ought to be the first one we seek every morning and the last one we speak to every night. Father, that's our message tonight. Just a short lesson tonight, challenging our people to keep our eyes on Jesus. Oh, how we need that. A storm's raging. And we have no hope in this world without You. We cannot make it on our own. We need You. And if we're going to walk in the will of God and have Your blessings on our life, then we've got to keep our eyes on You. Make You our goal. You our guide. Help us, Lord Jesus, tonight. Now, Lord, I don't know what all of our people are going through, but I know some are going through struggles. Some are going through troubles. Some are going through heartaches. It may be that You're testing some and trying some, checking their faith, wanting them to grow in grace and faith so You can use them in a greater way. But it may be that some are struggling because they've got their eyes off of You. They started to sink. God, help each of us. Whether we're going through a storm that's a trial or a test, or we're going through troubles and problems because we've gotten our eyes off of You, help us each one to come back to that place where we cry out to You for Your help, knowing that You're near. Just as You reached out and kept Peter from sinking, You'll keep us from sinking. Now, Lord, we need You tonight. Thank You for this story that can help us if we'll believe it and keep our eyes on Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.